It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Milwaukee's School of Freshwater Sciences operates a year-round research ship on the Great Lakes.
The historic Niske dates back to 1953, beginning as a T-boat for the U.S. Army in the Korean War.
Generations later, this vessel is still in operation, helping to facilitate research projects across the Great Lakes, like maintaining weather buoys and giving middle school students an up-close look at shipwrecks.
Next month, the Niske heads to a shipyard in Manitowoc for an overhaul that happens every 5 years to make sure it's in tip-top shape.
Maxwell Morgan captains the Niske on its research expeditions. Maxwell, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure.
And we are reaching you on the Niske on, a day in the life of you. You're on a hydroacousting testing project, from what I understand. Can you tell us what you see around you on the ship?
Sure, yeah. Right now we are sitting on the anchor, or on the hook, as we like to call it, in the south section of the outer harbor in Milwaukee. So I can see the Milwaukee skyline and just all the happenings on the city. It's nice to be out here and just watch the hustle bustle on land. And I got the crew, and the ROV is in the water off the back.
And the ROV is?
So the ROV is a remote operated vehicle, and we're out with a company called OceanCom, and they do hydroacoustic testing, and they are looking to develop technology that can send signals through the water without using a cord. So at the moment, ROVs and anything that communicates from the ship to the water requires a tether to send information. This is much like Wi-Fi, but through the water. So it's very cool.
That is really cool. And it's such a wide variety of research that you're able to help to facilitate through this research vessel. Can you talk a little bit about all the different types of projects that may occur on this ship?
Yeah, sure. So I'd like to say that the Niske is a vessel of opportunity and kind of like a jack of all trades. We do a little bit of everything. We are a research vessel for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Science. So one of our main missions there is to support the school. So support the professors there, their research projects, and any types of experimentation they'd like to do, their grad students, with anything that they would like to look at on the Great Lakes, as well as education stuff. So any of the classes that come out for undergraduate and graduate, kind of like a way to get their feet wet, per se, and just get some hands-on experience. And then we also do things with other universities in that capacity, or other entities like Wisconsin Sea Grant. We do a lot of educational outreach with other students, Milwaukee Public Schools, and also other government agencies like the Wisconsin DNR, United States Geological Surveys, NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. Anybody who wants to use the vessel that has some sort of research or educational mission would be happy to help them out. So you just fill out a vessel request form and we'll get it going.
You've said that this job as captain is a dream job. You became captain in 2021. Why is this job so rewarding for you?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, I started off as a scientist, so I got my master's degree from UWM, and I always worked on boats in that capacity, but I always had a passion for boats in general and the mariner's lifestyle. So I ended up getting my captain's license, and I don't know, I've just always been fascinated with it. It's always a challenge. You know, people come to me with ideas, professors and other people who want to do research, they come to me with ideas, and then I put that and make that into action on the ship, make the ship work for them. And it's always a challenge. There's always something new. Nothing's ever the same. And I really just love that dynamic of it.
One of the Niske's projects is deploying buoys to measure weather patterns. How challenging are buoy deployments in the Great Lakes?
Well, buoy deployments can be very challenging for a lot of different reasons. First of all, weather is basically rules all on the lakes. So you're dealing with a very heavy equipment and a very complicated mooring setup. Sometimes it can be a three-point mooring with two anchors and then a bunch of chain and wire and all kinds of instrumentation. So it's very delicate, it's very expensive, and it's very heavy. And then you have to go try and set that in a very exact spot in potentially very deep water. So you're dealing with a lot of different factors, and ships, you know, some of them are more maneuverable than others, some less, you know, it depends on the rigging that you have. So there's just a lot of things that you have to juggle around, and really it comes down to really good planning, really good weather, and a little bit of luck. And then I think it happens.
There's some luck and there's some skill in the mix. How do you get good at buoy placement? How do you refine your ability to do that?
Well, it takes a lot of practice. You know, especially with what happens on boats, you can talk about things all day, but until you get out there and actually give it a shot, you won't know exactly how the ship's going to respond. You know, you won't get those muscle memory things that just get you that edge when things happen and you have to react quickly. Really, you know, there's a saying that I love with in regards to ships, you know, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. So sometimes you just have to practice and make a few mistakes here and there and just get better at it. And you got to have a little bit of confidence. You have to have that willingness to make mistakes and to get out there and, you know, be responsible for that and just go for it.
You're working with different groups that are placing buoys on the Great Lakes. What data do researchers hope to get from maintaining these buoys?
Well, that's really cool because these buoys that we monitor, so we service buoys off of Racine, off of Atwater Beach here in Milwaukee, one up in Green Bay, and one off Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan, which is part of a greater buoy system that is all over the Great Lakes called the GLOSS, or the Great Lakes Observing System. And the great thing about these things is there's multi functions for them. So one of the functions is long-term data monitoring, so long-term weather monitoring. So we can monitor climate change as it goes over a long period of time, and we can see what is happening, and we can compare it to older data. And the other great thing about these buoys is the data is there for everybody. You can go on the website, you can access it from your phone. So any recreational or commercial mariner or boater, I use them all the time. You can click on there and you can see exactly what the wave height is, exactly what the current direction is, exactly what the water temperature is down through the water column, down to the bottom of the lake. You can see the current direction, the wind direction, all that stuff, which is very important to fishermen and to boaters because, you know, a forecast is great. Nothing against weather forecasters, but they're not always correct. This gives you the real-time data whenever you need it.
And the Niske operating year-round, how do you prepare for working on the Great Lakes in the winter months?
Yeah, that can be very demanding. Recently, we haven't had very volatile winters as far as cold. So the ice has become less of an issue. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't get wavy. And with it's still cold out, and with those that splashing water, you get decks can be frozen. You can get freezing spray, and that can change. That can build up on a ship and change its buoyancy. There's a lot of dangerous things out there. And the other factor of that is that there's not a lot of boats out there. You know, if we're going out to the Midlake Reef, which is 35 miles offshore, we're the only boat out there. You know, Coast Guard's miles and miles away. So you really have to be careful. You really got to know what you're doing, and you have to pick your days. That's where weather forecasting comes in. You know, there is beautiful days in December and January and February. They'll be at far and few between, but you just have to be ready to go at a moment's notice and really jump on it when those days come around.
We are talking about science on the Great Lakes with Maxwell Morgan, captain of UW-Milwaukee's Niske. That's a year-round Great Lakes research vessel. Maxwell, with the Niske having more than 70 years on water, you mentioned the ship's first job was an Army T-boat in the Korean War. Why keep using the Niske now as a research vessel over 50 years later?
Well, the Niske has been taken very good care of, and it's had a lot of updates. It's a great vessel in the fact that it can go offshore, so it's a very stout and sturdy vessel, but it's also pretty small, so it's good on fuel economy, and it can go in near shore, and that was the purpose of it in the first place. So It's got a lot of advantages, is that it's small, it's nimble, it's got good fuel economy, and it works pretty well, that it's very just diverse in the things that it can do. I think one of the drawbacks with it is it's a little bit small. Now with the changing of the university, we could use a little bit more classroom and laboratory space on board. So we are looking at updating our research vessel fleet. But the Niske, you know, has been a great vessel. It has everything that you could need as far as laboratory needs. It has deployment like A-frames and winches and updated navigation systems. And we are just getting a new brand new sonar this year, which is going to be really great for underwater mapping and fish finding.
And there is a modern research vessel in the works in the Maggie Sue. What could researchers achieve with the Maggie Sue potentially coming online?
Yeah, the Maggie Sue is very exciting. I am super excited about that. So right now, the Niske is kind of old school in the fact that it has one propeller. That's it. That's its only mode of propulsion. Most boats and ships these days have two propellers and a bow thruster. So it's very hard to be precise when we're trying to get on station and trying to hold station. So the new ship is going to have dynamic positioning. So we can put in a latitude long or a coordinate wherever we want on the lake, and we can hold that station very, very precisely, which is important in science. That, as well as the Niske, although it does have six bunks and a full galley and restrooms and things like that, it's really more of a 12-hour boat. It's not an overnight boat, whereas the new ship could be a 24-hour vessel. It has much longer ranges. It could be, you know, we could stay out overnight and people could sleep on board, which could be very helpful when you're, you know, you travel very far away and it takes, you know, 5 or 6 hours to get somewhere. You know, just to turn around and come back, you would have more time to do science and a lot more space.
Turning our attention now to shipwrecks, the Niske has traveled off the coast of Sheboygan for a student and educator workshop exploring a shipwreck. Can you talk a little bit about that particular voyage?
Yes. Yeah, we went up into Sheboygan, and there is a shipwreck very close to shore there. It's called the Sela Chamberlain, I believe. I'm not sure on the pronunciation there, but it's only about 15 minutes outside of the harbor. So it's a great way to quickly get out there and get on a shipwreck. And we went out one day and with some students, some middle schoolers, and gave them an educational experience where we put down the remote operated vehicle. They got to see the wreck through the camera and explore the wreck and talk about its final days on the water and make some, you know, detective sort of things where they kind of try and figure out what happened. And then they did a bunch of other activities with water quality and just looked at the condition of the wreck and kind of got into the mode of being an underwater archaeologist. And then the following day we had some local teachers, educators come out, and we had a bunch of other people from the Wisconsin Historical Society come along. And they went over activities that they could bring back to the classroom that revolve around, you know, some of the things that happen on the Great Lakes as far as shipwrecks and science goes. So it was really cool. And I think people really enjoyed being out there and seeing a wreck for, you know, you always see pictures of it, but when you can actually, you know, take the ROV down and you can't see anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's this big wreck in front of your eyes. It's pretty exciting. And, you know, I think it's awesome that the National Shipwreck Sanctuary has been recognized now. That's going to get a lot more funding. And there are so many shipwrecks. It's amazing. And they're all very different. They all have very different stories. So it's really interesting stuff.
How did these middle school kids respond to this experience? What did they ask you? What was that like for them?
Oh, it was great. Most experience I have when people come out, and students especially, is no, they don't have a lot of opportunity to do that most of the time. Some of them never even been on a boat before. So it's always very exciting for them. And, you know, they were starting to think about their careers. And we always try and give them, you know, talk about our career path and how we ended up where we were and give them some advice. And I think they really enjoyed that because it can be very confusing. And I think getting some real world experience and I try to give them some hints as to what to do when they get out into the real world. So they're always very excited, and they love to get their hands dirty and get right into it.
As captain, are there things that we might not anticipate? I think of you at the wheel and running the actual research vessel and the ship. Are there other responsibilities that you have in when you go out on the water?
Well, there's basically when you're the captain, you have all the responsibilities. So you're responsible for everyone who is on board that ship. You're responsible for their safety, their well-being, and as well as all the equipment that you're launching. So you really have to be cognizant of that and be sharp on all points. You know, as far as engine maintenance, is the engines working properly? Is there safety drills? Is everyone, you know, you got to be prepared for every single situation. And you have to delegate certain things. You know, I work with a crew of three. So I have myself, a chief mate, and another deckhand. And we all have to work together to make this thing go. So it requires really good communication. And basically, you got to know a little bit about everything. You know, if the engine breaks down, you got to be able to fix it. I cook the meals. You know, we have to grocery shop. We have to make sure all the scientific equipment is working correctly. You know, you have to talk to other ships. You got to, you know, especially on a busy day in the Milwaukee Harbor, it could be like driving through rush hour traffic. So there's all kinds of stuff that you need to be prepared for, and you just have to be ready for anything because you never know what could happen.
If a mechanical thing does break down on the Niskay, does the vessel's age make operations at all more difficult?
No, luckily, we haven't had anything serious happen, and we do a rigorous routine maintenance to make sure that the engines and everything are in great working order. Every 5 years, the ship goes to shipyard, it's hauled out of the water, and it gets completely refitted. We're actually scheduled to do that this October, and we do a rigorous checks before we even leave the dock. So we do everything in our power to make sure that none of that stuff happens. But if something were to happen, we always go over scenarios of what are we going to do if this happens? How are we going to react to that? So if it does happen, we know exactly what to do.
So in October, the Niskay has a tune-up of sorts in the shipyard.
Yes. Yep. We're going up to Manitowoc to Berger Shipyard, and they haul it out. They repaint the bottom, actually ultrasound the hull to check its thickness. They take the shaft out, make sure it's straight. They check the propeller, go through the engine. We're getting the new sonar attached, all kinds of stuff. Check all the valves. So it's basically, yeah, it's like going to the doctor and getting your annual physical just to make sure everything's tip top.
Well, Maxwell, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my pleasure for sure.
Maxwell Morgan is captain of the Niskay research vessel for the School of Freshwater Sciences at UW-Milwaukee.
Whether you missed part of a conversation today or you just want to listen to it again, you can hear Wisconsin Today online over at WPR.org.
Plus, our website features Q&As and articles related to this program and the latest news and information you need in a busy world.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, we visit two Wisconsin clubhouses where people dealing with mental illness can find support, job training, and social connection.
They have a support system. They come in here, they have friends, they have stuff to do. It's kind of, it's refilled that kind of internal purpose.
That's coming up next here on WPR News.